This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. This is part one of a two-part conversation I had with my friend Dave DiPaolo. Dave is a football historian and a lifelong fan of the Dallas Cowboys. Today, we're discussing Super Bowl XIII, which pitted the defending Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The winner of this game would be the first team to win three Super Bowls. Yeah, we're on.
Right?
Okay. So we're going to talk about Super Bowl XIII this time.
Excellent.
Last time we talked about Super Bowl X. And one thing I remember about that season for Dallas was they didn't do too well in the beginning. They were 6-4 at one point. And that's the same thing that happened to them in 1970. In 1971, 1970, they were 5-4. It didn't even look like they were going to make the playoffs. And then the following year, again, 1971, they were 4-3. So they always seemed to get off to a slow start. And this 1978 season, they were 6-4. But then they got hot and they won 8 games in a row.
That's correct. Yep.
And beat up on the Rams in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, what
but
was
actually
that?
That game was not quite as bad as the score. It was 0-0 at halftime, I remember. Very defensive game. 0-0 at halftime.
I remember
and
it
then
now.
I think it wasn't until like the end of the third quarter that Dallas took over because the Rams had a bunch of turnovers and Dallas capitalized on. Yeah, and they wound up winning 28-0.
Yeah, was that the Henderson game with the interception or was that a different game?
Yep, yeah, he had the that was the final touchdown, I think.
That's
he
right.
Dunked it over the goalpost. And then the Steelers, the year before, 1977 was not a very good season for the Steelers. Actually, 1977, I think they finished. I think they finished 9-5. This was the final year of the 14-game schedule. They finished 9-5, and then they lost in the opening round to the Broncos. That was actually their worst season since 1971. It was not one of their better seasons, 1977. And it looked like maybe their dynasty was starting to fade a little. But then 1978, they came back strong. Including the playoffs, they were 16 wins and 2 losses. And demolished the Oilers.
They won 7 in a row, I think.
Right.
They kept talking about that on the broadcast. Super Bowl 13,
yeah.
They were saying 7 in a row. Cowboys 8 in a row.
Yep.
Was this season, Mark? Was this the season that the Cowboys played the Rams during the regular season and the Rams beat them? And the Cowboys
said,
"Oh,
yeah."
Right,
yeah.
Or no?
Yeah, I think you're right. Early in the season, I think the Rams beat them.
I think it was a night game. And I remember there was a picture of Hollywood Henderson. He was yawning on the bench, saying, like, you know, we didn't even try tonight, or we didn't, you know, have a good night. Or we'll see you. I think Staubach said, we'll see you guys in the playoffs or something. He got mad about it.
Oh, yeah. He didn't like to lose.
The Rams were rubbing it in, correct? I think I didn't look at the schedule that year, but you remember kind of stuff better than I do. I thought that was the one, yes.
Right. So to start the game, Dallas got the ball first. Dallas got the opening kickoff.
They did.
And Dorsett was running wild. Three big runs in a row Dorsett had.
That's right.
And Herb Scott, remember Herb Scott, the big offensive guard?
Yeah, he pasted somebody on a couple of those runs.
Lambert. He pasted Lambert.
Yep.
And Dorsett was running wild.
47.
The offensive line.
That's right. 47 yards, I think, in the first quarter, Mark.
Oh, yeah. And the offensive line was firing off, beating them on the line of scrimmage. And they had the ball. They brought it down to Pittsburgh 33-yard line, right?
And then what?
Then they tried to get cute.
Exactly. Why?
They tried to get cute. I don't know. I don't know why they didn't just keep giving it to Dorsett. They tried that double reverse.
I found a site.
And they fumbled.
Yeah, I found a site, and it gave like a review of the game. Yeah. And it said in the locker room, that was a section, and it said quotes in the locker room. And somebody asked Staubach if he called that reverse. And then he said, he caught himself and he said, oh no, but that was a good call. Because he knew it wasn't a good call. But, you know, knowing that Landry called it.
Right.
And so, you know, that was, you know, Landry got like that sometimes, though.
He had a history of those trick plays.
Yeah.
But a lot of times they worked. So it's hard to criticize them too much because a lot of times those trick plays worked.
No, they did, but if you got something that's going pretty good,
kind of
stick with it. I mean, you know, they caught him off guard. You go up 7-0 there; that's big.
Yeah, and they had him on their heels. They were running the ball.
Yeah, and then they had a punt, right? Or
they fumbled.
Oh, they fumbled. That's right.
Pittsburgh recovered.
That's right.
And then they had a 50-yard pass to Stallworth.
Three good catches by Stallworth.
Oh, he was killing them. Stallworth was killing them.
And you said it one day, you brought that up to me. You said he might not have ever got his foot down, but in the broadcast, Merlin Olsen, I think, says, well, you know, he pushed because they forced him out. He says, and that's how they ruled. He actually brought it up.
Right. I think that might have been John Brody, I think, was announcing.
Yeah, him.
John
Brody. Both of them, actually. Brody and Olsen. And one of my favorites. He was from Wyoming. What was his name? Kirk Gowdy.
Yeah, Kirk Gowdy. Yeah,
I think he was born in Wyoming. Because he brings up Aaron Kyle later on. And he goes, from the University of Wyoming. He was proud of that.
Yeah.
Kirk Gowdy.
Yeah. And, you know, back then they didn't have a million different camera angles like they have today.
No. So it was tough to see it.
It was hard to even tell because they didn't have all these 5 million cameras all over the place. So I don't know if he was in or out. It was hard to tell. But then Dallas got the ball.
Yep.
And again, just like in Super Bowl X, Staubach was getting heavy pressure.
Yep.
He got sacked twice.
Two very bad sacks. They were not good sacks at all.
Yeah. Yep. Just like Super Bowl X. I don't know why they didn't just keep giving it to Dorsett.
He didn't have his best games against Pittsburgh. He played better in this one.
Yeah.
He got better as the game went on. Staubach. Yep. He made some great plays at the end. But in the beginning, they got those two sacks. Pittsburgh adjusted very well in those games.
Yeah, you know, they kind of did.
Right? They kind of stopped Dorsett after a while. Then they were putting pressure on Staubach, you know. But you're right about that. Two terrible sacks.
But then the Steelers' next two possessions were both turnovers.
Yes, Dede Lewis.
Yeah. right? An interception, right? That was D.D. Lewis that intercepted, I think, right?
Yeah. He threw it right to him, kind of. D.D. Lewis jumps up and gets it, but there was kind of nobody in the screen. Like, there wasn't even a Pittsburgh receiver there.
Right.
When they showed it initially. And so that was a big play for the Cowboys.
Oh, very big play. Then they had a fumble on their next possession.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
On their third drive, that's right, they opened that up with trying to run Newhouse wide. And I'm thinking to myself, what are they running this guy wide for? They got Tony Dorsett.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're running Newhouse coming off of a bad hamstring.
Yeah, it was some strange play calling.
No, exactly. I didn't get that.
But then, but they did. Then Dallas tied it up. That pass to Tony Hill, right?
Yes. Pass to Tony Hill that the other guy for Pittsburgh didn't even see him coming. Drew Pearson was running, and then the guy was so intent on covering him, Tony Hill went right down the sidelines, right behind him.
Yeah.
Right?
That was a tough combination, Hill and Pearson.
Yeah, and they if you look back at that game, though, they held Pearson in check for a long time. He came on at the end. But I think through three quarters, I don't know if he had a catch. I'm not sure.
I don't think he did. I don't think he did.
No, I don't think he did either. I mean, they had. And another thing, too, Mark, you watch that thing. And they started running that screen to Dorsett in the second half.
Yeah.
And he looked really good in that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they took the lead, right? They took the lead. Pittsburgh had their third turnover.
Yes.
That was that play where Henderson had
Bradshaw
wrapped up, right? And then Mike Hegman came along and just took the ball.
That's correct.
I ran it in for a touchdown.
Correct. Go ahead, Mark.
Was that a bad snap? I remember Bradshaw was fumbling. The ball was on the ground. I don't remember if it was a bad snap or Bradshaw.
As he comes out of the gate, he hits somebody. He hits somebody with it, I think. Like somebody in a bob, it gets bobbled up. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I think it comes right back to him.
Right, but by the time he picked it up, Henderson was right on him.
I'm telling you. And then Henderson had a great game, Mark. Rewatching the game again.
Yep.
And he talked about it on that interview that I sent you. Were you swearing?
Yeah.
He kept talking about how he had such a he really did. He had a very, very good game. He was putting pressure on Bradshaw. He was getting running backs. He was making a lot of plays. He really was.
Oh, he was a great athlete. He was a tremendous athlete.
Going back to the end of the first quarter, Mark, it was the same as Super Bowl X. Pittsburgh hadn't let up a touchdown all season in the first quarter, and the Cowboys scored on him again.
That's right.
Same thing just in Super like Bowl Super 10. Bowl.
Yep. Nobody else could score on him in the first quarter.
Nope.
But then Stallworth again.
They tied it up.
Pass to Stallworth.
Stallworth with that crazy 70-something yard. He's running right by guys.
Yeah.
You know?
I always thought he was better than Swan. I thought he was a better receiver than Swan.
I think he was probably a little more consistent than Swan.
I think he played longer.
Yeah, he was bigger.
Yeah.
He was taller than Swan. And I think Swan made big plays. You can't take that away from him.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, no.
But you're right. They tied it up. And right before that, I think there was right before that, or was maybe during that play, I think that's when Kirk Cowdy, he says, the dirty towels, he calls them by mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of the terrible towel. He says the dirty towel, and the other guy starts laughing. I think Brody. And he goes, the terrible towels, Merlin Olsen says. And yeah, it was 14-14. I mean, and they were commenting on how the momentum has been swinging back and forth.
Yeah.
They couldn't believe it. They were also commenting on how hard hitting the game was. Very hard hitting.
Oh, yeah. Vicious. Very hard hitting. Just like Super Bowl X.
He said
at that point.
Go ahead, Mark.
No, I was going to say, Stallworth, at that point, after that touchdown, he already had 115 yards receiving.
Yes.
He had three catches for 115 yards receiving.
And, you know,
he was killing them.
And that's during that series, or maybe it was right before that series. It might have been the series prior to that. They brought up the fact that Franco Harris at that time, when year did he come into the league? 71?
72.
Okay, so 72. And this was 1978. So he'd been in the league six years. He was already the fifth leading rusher in NFL history at that point. They brought that up during the broadcast.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah. That's amazing.
It is
amazing.
But that long run by Stallworth, Randy Hughes, who was very good, I liked him. He misses him, and Aaron Kyle misses him, and he was off to the races. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah, they couldn't stop him.
No, nope.
And I think I don't really remember. I think he went. He got knocked out of the game with an injury.
He did. He got hurt. He came back in, and then he went back out.
Right. I don't remember what the injury was.
Something with his leg. Something with his knee, I think. They were working on him, and one of the guys said, "Oh, I think it's leg cramps," but it really wasn't.
No, it was had to be more than that.
That's right.
I don't think he played in the second half. I don't think he played at all.
Not too much. They had what's his name in there. I can't think of his name. He made a couple of big third down catches, though, that kid.
Yeah.
Because one of the announcers says, oh, what do they got, a wide receiver factory over there in Pittsburgh? I can't think of the guy's name. He's got an odd name.
Was it? I can't remember.
You're usually pretty
good.
Yeah, not the tight end Grossman, but he was a wide receiver.
Grossman was a tight end, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he didn't do much in this game. Grossman.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Then Dallas defense started to put a lot of pressure on Bradshaw.
They did.
And he got. Yep.
They
then
did.
He got sacked three times. He got sacked three times.
That's right.
In the first half.
That's right. Correct. Ed Jones was having a good game.
Yes. Yes, he was.
And I got to tell you, they were really handling Randy White. They did a good job on him. I know he had the cast.
Yeah.
He had a cast on his thumb. But
that was a good offensive line.
It was. It was, I can't think of his name, but they split it up. Kolb and Sam Davis. Those two guys were going Randy White. A lot of times one-on-one, which you didn't normally see.
Yeah.
He did make a couple of good plays, White. But he wasn't his usual dominating self in that game. He really wasn't.
That was a very good offensive line. And I don't think they didn't really get enough credit, that offensive line.
No, they didn't.
That was an outstanding offensive line.
The Cowboys' first series in the second quarter, like you said, Staubach fumbles the ball.
Right.
He fumbled the ball. Pittsburgh gets the ball back in Cowboy territory. Remember?
Yeah. Yep.
And I thought they got to the Cowboys' 23-yard line, and then they got sacked. Like you said, the Cowboys started sacking him, and he ended up getting pushed back to the 34. And he missed a 51-yard field goal, Zarella.
Right.
It hit the upright.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
It hit the upright. So, guy you were talking to, he says they missed all these field goals. You said they only missed two field goals, right?
Yeah, in the first one, in the Super Bowl 10.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, this one, he hits the upright, and they were actually commenting on him. The announcers were saying he had a very up and down season. That's what they were talking about. They picked up on that.
I think that might have been his final season with the Steelers.
It could have been, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then I think Dorsett had another big run.
He had a nice screen. They threw a nice screen. I don't know if it was the one that was out in front of him or was the one that Staubach – I think it was the one Staubach lobbed up in the air. And he had a weight – like he threw it over a couple of linemen and – yeah, he was waiting for it, Dorsett, and then he took off like he got shot out of a cannon.
Yeah. I don't know. I still, to this day, I question why they didn't just keep running. At one point, he had seven carries, and on those seven carries, he gained 48 yards. That's like 7 yards per carry average, right?
It was very, very good. I don't know what it was.
I don't know why he didn't. Yeah.
I don't know what it was. But seven? Then he ended up throwing an interception then, Staubach, remember?
Yeah.
He threw into triple. There were three guys there. He threw into triple coverage.
Yeah.
Three Steelers around. It was a terrible. And that was the play you sent me an email on that. About Billy Joe Dupree getting a penalty for hitting a guy. I mean, listen, in all the years I've been watching football, I never saw that happen. A guy intercepts a ball, somebody hits him, tackles him, and they throw a flag on that?
Yeah, and that was a 15-yard penalty.
I never saw
personal
that happen.
Foul.
I never saw that happen in my life. In fact, underneath in the comments, I commented on it the other night. I said, in all my years of watching football, 54, 55 years, I never saw a guy get penalized after making a tackle on an interception.
No, I don't. I still don't. I've watched it and rewatched it, and I couldn't figure out why is there a penalty here? It was a perfectly clean hit.
No, wasn't dirty.
No.
It was hard. It was hard. You could hit it. You could hear it on the broadcast.
Yeah.
But nothing dirty about it, or not didn't hit him low or anything.
No.
If anything,
I'm not even sure.
No, if anything, Mark, that number 29 for the Steelers, Ron Johnson, he was a rookie. He was playing in their secondary. He was making a lot of high tackles, hitting guys in the head. Billy Joe Dupree almost went after him when he scored that late touchdown. He was going to spike the ball. And then he hit Dorsett in the head on a long run a little later on in the game. He three or four guys he was tackling around the neck and the head, knocked somebody's helmet off. Not one flag. Dupree hits a guy on an interception return. They throw a penalty.
Yeah, and that was a big penalty because that was a 15-yard penalty. And then
that's right. Where did it bring the ball up to? Do you remember?
I'm trying to remember. But it was a
brought
big,
it up to near midfield. I think
probably. I think Dupree probably tackled him at around the 35-yard line, and then they got the ball at the 50, and that made a huge difference.
No, it did, because what happens after that?
Then they had the Rocky Blyer touchdown.
Okay, so the Cowboys had some momentum, and they don't. Yep. He throws a terrible. That was a terrible throw by Staubach. It really was.
Yeah,
he throws this interception. And then to make it worse, Rocky Blyer scores right before the half.
Yeah. And jumped about 6 feet in the air.
Yep. That was a terrible exchange, those two possessions.
Yeah.
The possession of the Cowboys throwing the interception, not even coming away with a field goal, and Pittsburgh getting a touchdown right before the half was not good.
No. No, it really changed the momentum.
It kind of did. Yeah. I mean, even though they came out in the third quarter, both teams were very kind of They said that they went and the announcing crew said that both teams got conservative. But I don't think it was that. They're just defenses were playing very tough.
Well, they always say, the announcers always seem to say that when there's good defense. That third quarter was really controlled by the defense.
No, it
both
was.
Both defenses, they were playing tremendous. Both defenses were playing tremendous in the third quarter. I don't think there was a point scored in the third quarter, right? I don't think there was a point scored.
Let me see, Mark. I had it written down here. Third quarter, Pittsburgh couldn't move. They punted. And then, what happened was Newhouse got hurt with a hamstring again. And they brought Scott Laidlaw in, who was very good, by the way.
Yeah, I always liked him.
He was playing. He was picking up Lambert on some very good blocks.
Oh, yeah. I remember he nailed him on one.
And he had some knocked him out of the game.
I think he had to go out of the game for a couple plays.
He did. They were working on his ribs.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
Laidlaw had a couple of good runs, Mark.
Yep.
Laidlaw. The announcers actually picked up on it. But by that, then Danny White punted. Actually, that was his fourth punt. And then when Pittsburgh couldn't move the ball, first series of the third quarter.
Right.
That was their first punt of the game. I didn't know any of this, but when I watched it the other night, I remember Merlin Olsen saying, Pittsburgh's first punt of the game. So they didn't punt until the second half.
Wow.
And then Danny White punted. That was his fourth punt, because I wrote that down. I said, geez, four punts already to one, And then the Cowboys had another pretty good series, but on defense. And then they got the ball, and then it was only their second possession of the third quarter. That was the Jackie Smith possession.
Oh, right, right. That was the third quarter.
That was the end of the third quarter, near the end of it. That was their second possession only because Pittsburgh burnt up some time. They had a punt again. The Cowboys got the ball back, and that was a very time-consuming. Both of the Cowboys held the ball twice in the third quarter. Time-consuming. First, they got nothing out of it. The second one was the Jackie Smith play.
Yes.
Yeah. We could talk for, that was a... If you look back at it now and you say if they scored a touchdown there at the very end, if they got close again, that they would have tied it up instead of 4 points behind. It would have been a tie game.
Yeah.
Somebody asked Chuck Noll if he was getting nervous towards the end of the game. And he said, we only let him score 31 after we scored 35, he said. Imagine, that's what he said.
I remember seeing an interview with Joe Green. Mean Joe Green admitted that he said, I'm glad they stopped giving him the ball to Dorsett because we couldn't stop him.
I don't get it.
I remember Joe Green said that. Joe Green said, I was so relieved when they stopped giving the ball to Dorsett because we weren't stopping him. We couldn't stop him. But, I keep harping on that because I think that was a big part of the game. If they would have just kept feeding the ball. If Joe Green admitted it, you're talking about one of the best defenses ever in the NFL, the Steel Curtain. And we couldn't stop them, and Joe Green admitted it. We couldn't stop them.
Staubach thought that was the best team they ever played during his career. There was another interview. And it said, we lost to Pittsburgh. We have nothing to be ashamed about, really. He goes, but we would really like to have won that Super Bowl 13. He said, because, that was the deciding game for the decade.
Yeah.
Three Super Bowls to two. And also thought probably even, I've heard him say this in the past, that they would have probably got some guys into the Hall of Fame sooner.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. So, I don't know. It was disappointing. I mean, you know, the Jackie Smith drop. I was like, well, I think when you watched the game, do you remember when you were watching it? It wasn't, you didn't look back on that as, I mean, it was big, but like the game still had a lot of time left in it.
Right. So it was 21-17. 21-17, I think halfway into the fourth quarter. It looked like it might wind up with the same score as Super Bowl X, 21-17. Then, of course, we have the famous Benny Barnes bogus interference call.
That's right. Because the first series of the fourth quarter, you're right. The screen pass to Dorsett, another really nice gain they had. But once again, they had a punt. And so that was
– Right.
That came out garbage. And then Pittsburgh got the ball. Cowboys got the ball back. You're right. Probably about halfway through the fourth quarter. And that was the 28-yard play for you know, they threw the ball up and like the highlight scene. There was a highlight, you know, of they put those highlight things together of at the end of the year, those half an hour shows. Remember those highlight? And yep. The guy, John Facenda, said it was a reckless pass from the start. He threw it up into the secondary.
Right.
And Benny Barnes kind of fell down, and Swan tripped over Benny Barnes.
Incidental contact. Even in today's rules, that wouldn't have been called interference.
Nope.
And you know how much they call interference in today's game. But even in today's game, that would have been called incidental contact.
You know,
Looking back for the ball, right? Both of them were looking back for the ball, and their feet got tangled. And the ref decides it's interference.
I did not know this, but the guy that called that, Fred Swearingen, he was the same guy that was there for the Immaculate Reception. I just found that out looking into it the other night. Same guy. He got thrown, kind of tossed out of the officiating in 1980. He said it was Tex Schramm's way of getting back at him. Because Tex Schramm had a lot of juice.
Yeah, he had a lot of pull, right?
Right?
Tex Schramm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they said he was actually, he had more pull than Roselle, they used to say, Tex Schramm.
Oh, I believe it, yeah.
That was a big thing back then. But Benny Barnes claims when he saw the flag on the ground, he thought for sure it was on Lynn Swann.
Yeah.
He said, I can't believe they called it on me.
No, I still. I've even spoken to Steelers fans that said that was a bad call.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.